Welcome back to DM Gnostics, the gym for Dungeon Masters to work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Moniak.
And it's me, your other host, Celeste, a.k.a. Sea Witch.
I made a face like anyone would ever possibly know that I did.
It's okay. I'm clenching my fists. Yes. Real excited.
And I have a Zoom background that is right next to the sea, so it is perfect. You don't know that. Maybe I'm lying. It's hard to tell.
You can just see all the junk in my living room.
Yay! So today, we're going to be tying back to, inspired by, episode 190 of the Dungeon Master's Block entitled Demigods. And that led to an exercise title that you have already groaned at once, but what if Demigod was one of us?
That song is so, every time these songs can just get stuck in my head, and that's the rest of my life, 90s songs.
Fear not, though. Elon Musk is here for you because he's developing a device that is supposed to be able to send songs directly to your brain.
That is awful.
Hey.
We can just do it naturally with the gymnastics.
Terrifying. So what, on that note, what is this exercise?
Yeah, so basically for this exercise, we wanted to explore demigods, the concept of that. So we proposed some questions here for you to talk about demigods in your worlds and your campaigns. So we had some questions here for you. So suppose you were considering running demigods in your world. Here are the questions to lay some groundwork. One, where do demigods come from in your world? Two, how do they find out they are demigods? Three, what relationship do they have to their origin? Four, what enemies does demigodhood bring? Five, what flaws might a demigod experience as a result? And then six, as always, you do you.
Perfect. Also, I love the idea that, like, where did demigods come from? I just let your players get to, like, level five. They're here.
Basically, yeah. You're awesome. It's fifth edition.
Exactly. But which of the forum posts did you want to highlight?
Yeah, so I wanted to highlight the post from Geeky Tendencies, who's done three posts now. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to cover Geeky Tendencies because I feel like their breaking down of demigoddom is sort of the classic examples you kind of see when you do think of, like, demigods in your world. One, talking about where demigods come from, and they, you know, brought up that demigods are either, you know, the children of a divine creature in one of the mortal races. So, of course, this could happen naturally or through adoption, which I thought was an interesting way to bring up. So, you know, if a god chooses to adopt a mortal creature or you know, really likes them or feels inspired by them, they might grant this creature some level of their power, like as a reward or a sign of favor. So, you know, this idea that, yeah, you can be born like this, but also if a god chooses to make you a demigod and kind of abuse them, that's one way we might get demigods in this world. Just thought it was kind of cool. I think very much of, like, the Hercules, like, Disney movie, sort of that way of, like, working to become a god.
Yes.
And then he gets, like, all these powers at the end.
But I also thought of Achilles. Like,
yeah.
And then that adoption, and then what does that process of, like, the divinity going towards you. And then for the specific Achilles, it was just, like, dunk in a river.
Dump in the river.
Yeah, like, I could have probably just dunked him again and get that foot, but hey, who cares?
It's a little baby. Flip it around. Do the heel. That's fine. But then it's not a good story.
No, I know.
And then, so, of course, we go on to number two. How do they find out they are demigods? So Geeky Tendency says, generally, when they begin to realize they have abilities and powers, you know, not common to other people, that they, you know, these powers kind of manifest in weird ways. So over time, you eventually realize, oh, hey, I'm not like the other kids in my village. Or like, wow, this really dangerous thing happened. And all of a sudden, I was able to, you know, punch this dragon in the face and survive. That's weird. So definitely those, like, kind of moments of stress, you know, where you have to, you know, be your best. It's a fight or flight thing. And you see some kind of power manifest is usually the first signs that you are in fact more than just mortal. And then three, what relationship do they have with their origin? And so in this example, Geeky Tendencies talks about probably very little. So because usually, you know, these demigods are probably raised by a single parent, you know, probably their mortal parent who is now, you know, just living their life and trying to take care of this kid while, you know, this divine figure who might have parented them is off doing their godly thing. So, you know, they aren't exactly around a lot, you know, raising this child. So very little relationship to this divinity in general. And then, of course, four, what enemies does demigodhood bring? And gotta go with the classic, someone who is trying to bring down the god or punish the god, going after the children of this god, as a kind of example, which can be specifically horrifying, especially if these demigods don't really have a relationship to their parent or don't really understand what they are. Then all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, you're the kid of Nerul, you have to die. And everybody's like, whoa, wait, why, what?
I'm just trying to hanging out over here doing nothing.
Just wow. And then of course I like this one a lot because number five was what flaws might a demigod experience as a result. Geeky Tendency says what I'd call the Terminator complex. So basically, if someone has been trying to kill you since you were a young child, you're probably paranoid. You're probably really prepared. You don't talk to a lot of people. Not very social. So, you know, if you're raised with that point of view in mind, it's definitely going to shape who you are, as a person and make you, you know, suspicious and scared, that everybody wants something from you probably to do you harm.
The you do you is fun.
Yeah. For the you do you, if a demigod was one of us, basically, Geeky Tendencies would make that character more resilient in general and probably have some kind of indication of divine favors, like mostly minor things, but also maybe a major one. And they propose looking at cleric templates, you know, for each of these. And the example they give is like for the Greek gods, a child of Hephaestus might be like a forge cleric, but they'd have additional kind of minor powers, like campfires never go out around them, or they can like pick up any metal item and know immediately what it's worth, or like iron doesn't rust when they, you know, have these items. So like little things in addition to, you know, the big divinity things you might get from a class or something, but those little oddities that just like set them apart just a little bit from other people like them, I think was super duper cool.
Well, and it totally plays into the joke that I made where you're literally just, the idea that comes to mind when I read that is the idea of just making it child of Hephaestus. That's what I am. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a barbarian, cleric, or whatever. I'm a child of Hephaestus. And then these are the powers that are manifesting as I level up. Putting the mechanical bent on it, but then the narrative piece behind it is I'm not a forge cleric. I am a child of Hephaestus. I mean, and it could be, that could be the entirety of your reskin, and that's totally fine too. Like, don't get me wrong. That's awesome. I don't even say all of the cleric and all of these things. I just say this, that's who I am. And these are the things that are coming because of it. And you could, of course, take that as far as you want.
Yeah. Very cool. Yes. Thank you, Geeky Tendencies.
Yes. Thank you. And so the next person we will thank is, of course, DM Onesie Knight.
Our hero, Onesie Knight.
I loved the base concept. Geeky Tendencies, and I love the idea of that adoption process and everything and the nuances that you could have behind it. This one really threw me. I would have never thought of this myself, and which is the whole purpose of this.
Yay, let's do it.
So a demigod is what you call a god who steps on the material plane.
Oh, interesting.
That is it. That is the process by which a god goes from godhood to demigod.
Demigod.
So the second you are on the material plane, you have either by force or choice, you become a demigod because that's where you are. Basically, the idea is like you're not connected to your divinity in the same way. And so you're still going to walk around. You're epically leveled. You are super hard to kill. But in the scheme of what you had and what you have now because of it, a huge disparity, but like loss of power because you've chosen, or again, you've been forced to be on the material plane.
Yeah, very cool.
And just the idea that like, that's what it is. Like, it's just such an interesting idea, because even the gods are more than, to quote directly, even the gods are mortal when they walk the earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. This is, an idea I've been playing with actually in Venture Maidens recently, like what it means to be like an avatar of a god, which is like the physical god walking around. Like, can you kill them? Like, yeah, where do their powers come from? What does it look like when they're walking around? So this is a super cool idea.
Yeah, and then just all of the nuances behind it, because then we get into the idea of the relationship with their former godhood. Obviously, it's very strong, because you were this and now you are that. And the idea of kind of, I think, of all of the reasons why it's happening start to inform all the reasons as to how it continues to happen, how it could stop happening, because it could be that one of the gods wants to take a jaunty stroll through the material plane. They've done it with choice. They have a reason. They have a reason to do it. They have a way to undo it or not. Like, someone's been trapped there, and then you have this hermit because they're terrified of dying, even though, again, they are this epically powered individual, and very few, if anything, really could kill them, but they're terrified because of that loss of power. And so then I just start, all these dominoes start happening in my brain of just like, okay, so now they're trapped there. What happens to their portfolio? Or is it still there? Is this somewhat connection? Because obviously they have this power. Like,
or is it up for grabs now?
Yeah.
Like, is there a power vacuum? There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you could do with this.
Or even the idea of like what, like this powered bleed off, because there's a certain, in my head, there's a certain amount of power that's still going to them, but then there's just like this extra battery resource just like building up over time. And then now my head's like, does it blow up because it's not going? Yeah. So
wild. Yes.
My brain is very excited.
Heck yeah.
So DM White, you've
done it again, sir.
You have done it again, but with that, we have done it, which means we are going to lift the mental weights right now.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
Okay, we have to think of an original place, original way. Where do demigods come from in your world? I love the idea of, like, people accidentally becoming demigods, because there are, like, there are a few really well-known, like, artifact items in games like Dungeons & Dragons. So when you're talking about things like the Hand and Eye of Vecna, or, like, you know, Vorpal Swords, or these, like, awesome, like, super-duper powerful artifact items, or even, like, the Wand of Orcus, like, when people pick up these items, you know, they get these massive amounts of power that usually also has a price and comes with some kind of transformative element. So what if there was a world where all demigodness was basically granted by these certain items of power, or if people happen to pick up items that gods themselves made or used, that they would get imbued with some of that, some level of the power of the gods.
I love that. And a lot of the things that are coming into my head are thinking about what comic books look like.
Because
when we were talking through the idea of the union of some kind of god and some kind of mortal, that I immediately thought of Star-Lord from the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Or if you think of like all the fun of, like, when you were talking about the like 4-year-old punching someone out, all I can always think of is like Superman. Like, those early days had to have been just a weird,
just wild,
weird amount of conversation with people. And so then a lot of comic book origin stories really help. But I love the idea that the piece of a god is still existing and then becomes a demigod, especially because then I think of the end of season 1 of Critical Role, where Joe Manganiello chops off Arkin's hand and puts on the hand of Vecna. And I'm just like, you definitely become a demigod in my mind in that situation.
You're mini Vecna at that point.
And so I love the idea of it being tied to certain magic items, because then even that plays back into the idea of, you have some level of power that you're starting out with in that scenario, like, most likely. I mean, maybe not.
Maybe it's random. Yeah. You know, maybe this like lightning javelin falls to earth in a big fight and, you know, Zeus doesn't notice it. And just some farmer is like, oh, man, what's this cool shiny? Wow. Yeah. And like has, you know, powers of a storm god. All of
Shazam. See, that's another one. Yeah. I mean, that one's specifically tied to Greek gods. I mean, each letter is the name of another god. And so you mean Zeus and Hermes and all these powers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what I really like, this is sort of getting into, you know, the other questions, but what I really like about this concept, like, as long as you have this item, you are like a demigod, you have the powers, but what's cool about it is that you can also lose that item, and you can lose those powers. So it's like, when you do take up these items, it's something that you have to protect and, you know, fend off others who might want to try and take this this divinity from you, which I think just always makes for more interesting conflict when you have something to lose.
And that man, my head is ready for a lot of references, because the other one I thought of, and I mean, this is a little bit older, but Afro Samurai. Whoever had the number one headband, everyone was seeking that, because then you had that you had that power, and all of the things that came with it, both good and bad, because you had the good, but you also had the bad of literally everyone else trying to get to you to get that off of your head. So I love the idea of it being tied to specific items, because then you constantly have this crop of demigods in the world. And then you have some that are there and some that have been gone for hundreds of years, and now they've come back because it's been found.
Yeah, I also love the idea that maybe these items can't be destroyed, so they will, you know, eventually go on. So when somebody dies, like, where does that item go? Does it get passed down in a family, you know, that inherits this, like, demigod power? Is this, you know, protected by a certain group that keeps this object secret and safe? Or, you know, is this, do they bury it, seal it in big temples or dungeons, or, you know, entrust it to dragons to defend, or, you know, all kinds of stuff could happen, because these items will persist throughout the history of the world, and people know they're out there. So why they change hands and when they change hands could be a big part of shaping your world's story.
And then it's easy to go down the road of by blood with this whole concept, but it could just as easily be by choice. And it could be that someone sees in one of the characters something that really touches them as like, no, you are supposed to be the next demigod when it comes to, I love this lightning javelin. Yeah. Obviously, it's very obvious. It's cool. Yeah. Could be a very nondescript ring. No, lightning javelin.
No. It's a javelin made of lightning.
And so, but the idea that there's just this interaction, and it could be that you helped this demigod do something, and then again, they just see in one of the characters something that speaks to them and hands that item over, losing that power, walking away, and now someone else has to carry that on.
Mwah.
Ha-ha.
Chef kiss.
So what enemies does demigodhood bring? Or what relationship do they have with their origin? Oh, actually, based on what we've done, I'm really interested in what we have for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we are, you know, doing this item, this item idea, there is a lot of different ways you could have that relationship with the origin. I mean, because if these items, you know, have been in the world for multiple generations, people probably know about them, or, you know, have these stories about what they are. So, you know, this item could be going to Joe Schmo, who has never heard of the legends, and picks up this item, and then it's like a big surprise. But other people in the world would definitely know about it. So if you found something like this, you could travel to, you know, universities nearby or mages' towers and get some kind of explanation about the origins. Or if it is like, a god handing this item to you, that's certainly a different relationship to this origin story than
there's so much. I mean, based on the way that we have set it up thus far, there's so much that you can do, because it's all based on what has happened with the item. Because I kind of feel like we've shoehorned it into the idea that all of the items have some divine creation involved, because then it's the power of a god that is then transferred to the person wielding or wearing, and then they become a demigod. But like you said, you had mentioned earlier, what if it's an heirloom? And so then it could be your great great so and so from this and that or from.
Yeah, we were supposed to protect this, and we don't remember why, but it's very important. Yes,
and you could have that lineage. You could also know it because it is so prominent. You could be seeking it out because you know it's right over there and you want it. The other idea I had was, what if nobody has been this demigod before? What if it's a newly created divine item?
Yeah. So it's brand new. It's making a new pantheon, you know, making space. Yeah. Or maybe a god like is like, hey, I'm going to carve out my own place in the world. Like, I want my new pantheon. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make a bunch of these items. And whoa, I'm going to put them here for mortals. Yes. And like, boom, throwing down that gauntlet to the rest of the gods would be. I also had a thought, too, like, what if in terms of the origin, so there are all these powerful items, you know, out there in the world, but what if they have a degree of sentience, so they choose who can wield them? So, like, even if there is, like, say, this warlord who wants this super-duper powerful sword or something that will imbue power, if the sword doesn't want them to be the one who grants them the power, then maybe the warlord gets the sword, but the sword doesn't work for them. So it's a sense of frustration, yeah, or complication. So this person has to find somebody who the sword will accept, to wield it and try to manipulate or control them, in that way.
It makes me think of the old Holy Avenger, like, in the hands of so-and-so, it's just a +3. In the hands of a lawful good paladin, it becomes the +5. So this and that,
yeah,
because that also could be this ancient magic item that has never found the right person, and then the player or whoever stumbles onto it, and now it becomes this thing that helps them become a demigod.
Yeah, unlocks its full potential. Yeah. Very cool. Or maybe the gods don't like these items are running around, because they're like, oh no, like, if somebody takes this up, like, they get a portion of my power, and I can't destroy the item, but maybe I can guard it or keep people from getting it. Because I don't want to have to share my power with anybody else.
And in my head the whole time, it was just like a spare amount of power. But the idea that if the god can keep someone from using it, and that's it,
they get to keep, that's more battery that they get to use. So, ooh.
Well, so good. So that kind of ties directly into enemies and flaws when it comes to the idea of tying it directly back to that. You picking it up has the potential to draw the ire of a god. And the interesting thing with that is that there's ways you can go, because you can definitely have it where the evil god, they want to kill you because you've done that. But you could just as easily have that same level of tension with a good god, a lawful god, because whether or not they agree with what you're doing with the power, whether or not they feel that them having that full resource is more beneficial to the world and who their patrons are. Like, I love the morality issue of just like, no, it's a completely lawful good god.
Yeah.
Who's like, that's garbage. I need that power back.
I need that. Like, hey, but it's also a lawful good paladin who picked it up. So it's like, what do you do? Like, how do you navigate that? Ooh, yeah. I love this.
Hey, go put that back, please.
Hey, please put that back in my palace, my temple palace. Thank you.
or even just the idea of, and sometimes these concepts are fun to have in your pocket when you're ending a campaign, that your paladin or your cleric is basically given that for a time.
Yeah, borrowing,
but knowing
this power.
Yeah, and then knowing full well that they have to decide, do they keep it or do they not, and the consequences of those choices.
Yeah. Love it.
Wow. You do you. What do we got? Obviously we need to make at least one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we need to make a second one, because clearly Zeus dropped a jet.
That
just randomly hit a farmer, but.
Yeah. Zeus is a party boy. He drops his stuff all the time. I mean, I love the idea of, these items of power becoming things. Like, I'm thinking of, like, the god Istis, who's, like, the god of fate and, like, change. You know, if there's a crystal ball out there in this world that, you know, somebody can grab hold of. They can even, like, mount it on their staff as, like, an arcane focus or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, a tarot card deck, or just, there's so many cool things you can think of for all the gods.
Yeah.
you know, or it could be like weird stuff. So like if you have like Pelor, god of the sun and stuff, it's like it's a sundial. Like as long as you mm-hmm. have this sundial, maybe you have to wheel it around or whatever it is, but like you have this holy object.
Yeah, because I also do like kind of fitting it into non-traditional item slots, because at the end of the day, some of this stuff just has to involve mechanics. But I really like the idea of not taking up an item slot when it comes to this mm-hmm. kind of thing. If you were going to implement it in your game and most likely across all the players, that'd probably be a solid idea rather than like one or two. So I would think of like, so I was looking at Tempest and like, because mm-hmm. chaotic and things like that. If it was just like a necklace, like pretty. Yeah.
Or like a ship sail that you could like use as a cloak.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, or like a fishing net that you would like wear across your person or something.
First off, yes. We definitely just put a D&D character in fishnet and I'm here for it.
Yep. And gets a demigod of Tempest that wears just full head to toe fishnet.
Oh, it's so good. It's so weird.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. But we've done it. We've done this as well. I am a huge fan of this conversation. One day we may even put our act together and actually make some of this stuff go into Dayayan Bay, but that day is not today.
Not today.
But instead.
If you enjoyed the conversation that we had today, please, please, please do consider leaving us a rating and review. You can go on and do that if you're listening in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you're in. Just take a moment, you know, pause the episode, go leave us some stars, write a review. It super duper helps people learn what the show is about and spreads the word so folks can check out the show.
Definitely. And if you want to get a hold of us and tell us how you've added demigods to your world or anything from what we have said, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com. And of course, you can head over to Twitter where you can follow us at dmnastics or on Instagram. And of course, my handle is at jotemaniac and Celeste is at cconowich. And for everything else on our network, you can go to blockpartypodcastnetwork.com.
And a huge thank you, as always, to the bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music. You can find out more about Bombarded at bombardedcast.com.
But let's head to the post-workout cool down and stretch with the light bulb.
Light bulb.
Today on the light bulb, we are going to talk about some dice.
We are! Oh, let me see if I can get some Foley clicky clack. Oh, wow. Oh, is it coming through?
Yeah.
Fully like clicky clacks. So nice.
welcome to ASMR.
Welcome to ASMR. Clicky clacks. Yeah, but more specifically, we want to talk to you about a brand new dice company that is out there, RPG Dice. Mm-hmm. Dice with a Y instead of an I, because these dice are made by Joe Dye, spelled with a Y.
And as you're typing RPG Dice into the internet, all you have to do is put .com and you're there.
RPGDice.com. Yeah, and these are just absolutely beautiful handmade dice that are just, I don't know, Neil, do you want to describe them as I'm looking at, like why they're so special compared to other dice?
So some of the, I mean, first off, Joe is a wonderful human being. So we can start
wonderful
there.
Wonderful person. Yes.
So one of the things that I personally enjoy is that they're a little bit bigger, and that also I feel like even in relation to the size, the numbering is larger, which is mm-hmm. really nice.
It's a lot easier to read these dice than your general options out there.
Yeah, because and so then that one of the other things is the color contrast on it is really well, which if people don't know that what the thing I do as a day job is interact with students that have disabilities at a community college. And one of the big takeaways here is that a lot of these are would be really easy to read. So we all kind of, that is one of the biggest disability and assistive technology that we use on a day to day basis is glasses and contacts. And so these are really helpful just to read.
Yeah. And so, I mean, these custom dice sets, he's offering 7 or 8 different custom options right now on his website, but he also takes custom commissions, which is a really cool offer or option that he offers. So, you know, if you do want to make dice for a specific character in your campaign, or, you know, as a gift for someone, he does, you know, take those pigment options, those color options, has a variety of things you can put inside, styles. So they're just absolutely beautiful dice. And right now, all the sets that are posted are also named after like SRD D&D spells, which I think is super duper cool. So you can go, you know, and pick up a set of Water Walk or Dark Vision or, you know, Stone Shape. So
I believe Dark Vision is also glow in the dark.
Dark Vision is indeed glow in the dark dice. I'm holding them in my hands right now as if you could see them. But
also, I'm a big fan of the D4 style, but.
Yes, yeah. So the D4 style, instead of your traditional, you know, like horrible caltrop, is this very cool geometric shape that sort of reminds me of like the rupees, like yeah. from Legend of mm-hmm. Zelda. So it's this like beautiful custom shape that is, you know, rarely seen. And all of them are nice sharp edge dice too, which is a really cool quality that just makes them look so clean and lovely.
I know how excited some math people got out there. They're like, ah, yes. And because I also like finding alternative D4s. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I've often done it is go with a D12 that happens to be numbered in a different way. Mm-hmm. Because obviously,
yeah,
12 divided by 3 is 4. Hey, we're here.
Hey.
And so, but I love this one.
Yes. I really like. Yeah. So they're absolutely gorgeous. And again, you know, a handmade dice maker. So like making them in the living room and every, you know, piece of dice is lovingly sanded and painted and just made to be the perfect set. So please, please go and check out the options at rpgdice.com. Again, that's dice spelled with a Y. And see your options today.
Definitely. If you ever hear science going on in the background, it is because dice are being made.
Yep. they're being made right here.
In Insider Baseball, we have definitely told Joe, stop making dice so we can record.
Stop. Please turn off the pressure pot. We are recording. Thank you.
Yes. So we'll have a link in the show notes. And definitely, where could they go on Twitter if that's the thing they would like to do?
Yeah, you can also check out on Twitter at @RPG_dice. Dice with a Y.
But with that, we'll turn out the lights and head out of the gym.
Before we go, I want to implore you, the listeners, to join the forums, the Discord, Twitter, and anywhere else you can find us and take part in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
To do that, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics. So your players don't ask, do you even lift?